This is word of mouth on the hamster from the Radio and Virginia Prescott. Today, we kick off NHPR's week-long food series, Eating In, with a vegan-turned-ethical butcher, Veggie Gardens of the Office, and Sicily's famous Scream Sandwich. But we begin today with an aperitif. The Granite State is known for its crisp apples, plump blueberries, and abundant maple syrup. Well, here's another local ambrosia to add to your table, a bottle of New Hampshire harvested, fermented, and bottled wine. Wine was first officially produced here in the late 1960s. Today, there are 24 wineries in the Granite State, and many vineyards export their bottles out of state, but all promote the movement to drink locally. Carla Snow is a New Hampshire-based enologist, and she runs A Grape Affair, that's a wine consulting firm in Portsmouth. She's also author of the book Wine and Dine with New Hampshire, which features seven of the state's wineries and recipes created by area chefs featuring the wines as an ingredient. We do have a slideshow of some of the absolutely gorgeous photographs taken by Brian Smithstadt and also Carla's recipe for sangria at wordofmouthradio.org. Carla Snow joins us now in the studio. Carla, great to have you here. Thank you so much for having me. Well, New England's a region of the country known for practically minded people. No, always has a great reputation for fine dining. What does wine culture bring to the United States, to here in New Hampshire?
Well, I think, you know what, teach a lot of people and explain to a lot of people is when you're exploring the world of wine in New Hampshire, you need to cleanse your mind and your palate of anything you previously knew. Do not compare New Hampshire wines to the California cabernets that you're used to drinking, and start with an open mind and approach them that way. And the world of wine in all states, all 50 states now make wine, but New Hampshire in particular, we have some great depth and variety that we can produce, and some really passionate people that are, you know, typical New Englanders that love what they do and really put a lot of love and energy into that passion and produce a great product.
Well, how did the New Hampshire winemakers learn the craft, given there's not a long-standing tradition here?
You know, each one of them has a different story, and they all have such an interesting story, and it does go back to their passion. Amy Labelle has a great story where she started with just a carboy of blueberry wine in her condo in Boston, and after 9/11 kind of headed for the hills and decided that after visiting Nova Scotia, she wanted to become a winemaker, and has followed that passion today. Peter Oldad had a farm and decided when he retired as a physician that he wanted to make wine, or at least garden. So he and his wife started a small garden, including planting some vines, and started producing wine from there. James Rosanello at Sorvino started with just building a facility to house his cars, and then it became a function facility, and then people said, why don't you grow wine and make wine? And so he did. So they all have a unique story and have really carried through, and they're continuing to crop up. Like you said, 24 wineries now today. There continue to be people wanting to do this craft, whether it's a hobby or hopefully make money at it someday.
We're going to be visiting Sorvino Vineyards in just a few minutes. Our producer, Robin Resto, went there. But I'm looking at this book. It's absolutely gorgeous. We have cherry glazed Kelly Brook farm pork tenderloin. Beautiful photographs again, as I said. We do have a slideshow of some of those available at our website. Velvet pastures, elk, blueberry plaza. I mean, it's just beautiful, beautiful stuff. You talked about how they got started. How about you?
I was in the restaurant business for well over 20 years and decided that wine was really something that was going to keep me interested for many years because it's ever-changing and there's constantly new areas, new grape varieties, new techniques and things to learn. So I started Grape Affair 4 years ago after working for a distributor because I saw the need for an unbiased wine professional, someone out there that could speak about wine without trying to peddle a product. So not necessarily trying to sell it to you, but really trying to make the world of wine a less intimidating place.
Well, I know you mentioned we have to cleanse our palate of all of our different predispositions about New Hampshire wines, but the reputation is sweet wines, fruity wines for the most part. I'm imagining because the same varieties of grapes don't grow here as other wine producing countries.
Correct. We have some grape varieties that we obviously do well here, and specifically hybrids. And hybrids were created to do well in cooler climates. So we have grapes such as Marechal Foch and Bacon Noir, Frontenac, Noiré, Vidal. Those are all grape varieties that do well in this area that you wouldn't see in California. We don't have as long of a growing season as far as summer heat that warmer climates such as California does. So we need to stick with the cooler climate grapes. So there's going to naturally be a little bit higher residual sugar because they're not getting the balance of heat and acid. Mm-hmm. But New Hampshire wines are not all sweet. Marechal Foch is very much comparable to a Beaujolais, which is the Gamay grape, so you can compare that to that. And Marechal Foch Reserve is a little bit more like a Syrah, which is a full-bodied red. And there are winemakers in New Hampshire making Cabernet Sauvignon, although it's not fruit grown here. They're buying the fruit from either South America or California and making it here.
You included seven wineries in your book. Not all of them obviously could make it into the book. How'd you choose which ones?
There were a few things that I had to think about, and I thought the book is going to be so successful. We're going to sell so many copies of the book that people are going to be clamoring to get these wines, right? So I thought they needed to be wineries that could keep up with production. So that was the first criteria. I also wanted it to be a winery that people could visit. So not necessarily what two people were kind of doing in their basement, but a winery that was welcome to visitors. I saw it as a book that would maybe lead to a self-guided tour in the New Hampshire wine trail. You could bring it with you and have the winemakers sign their chapter and have it help you guide through the wineries in New Hampshire.
Well, when people think about books from New Hampshire, we mentioned apples, blueberries come to mind. Do you think that wine is ever going to make it onto that short list?
I hope so. I think, especially with what's happening with the climate, another 20, 30 years, we could be doing well with Cabernet Sauvignon and grapes of the like. And, there was a tasting in Paris in 1977 comparing California wines to French wines for California wine. That could be New Hampshire someday in another 20, 30 years with the climate change.
I mentioned the sangria recipe. Where did you actually get that from?
It's Amy Labelle's recipe, actually. Each chapter
from which one?
From Labelle Winery. She's the winemaker from Labelle Winery in Amherst. And she does fruit wines, but she also has some great cooking wines, like jalapeno wine, onion wine, she has a tomato wine. She talked about doing a garlic wine, but she was still working on talking to her family and peeling all that garlic. So we'll see about that.
We should also note that the book also highlights the Classic Pond Winery's Mead and Farnham Hill Ciders, which our producer and director, obviously, Archie, featured in a piece for NPR. There's a link to that story at wordofmouthradio.org.
Carla, what a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Carla Snow runs the Portsmouth-based wine consulting firm, A Grape Affair. She's also author of the book Wine and Dine with New Hampshire. Now, we do have a link to more on your book, and we also have a slideshow of some of the gorgeous photographs taken by Brian Smithstadt, as well as the recipe for sangria. That's all online at wordofmouthradio.org.